So today's message is entitled, What's in a Name? On the 5th of February 2023. Starting with two short passages from Matthew and Mark. The first one is from Matthew 9, verse 35, and it's as simple as this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news. The good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And the second reading is from Mark 16, 15 to 16, where it says, Jesus said to them as he departed, Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So key feature is preaching the good news. Jesus did it first, and he left us with that task as well. Those two scriptures above explain in part why our church, this church, Coningsby Baptist Church, is described as an evangelical church. And on our website, and if you Google Coningsby Baptist Church, you might notice that we are described in that way, an evangelical church. And this is because, in part, I put it there. But is it accurate and is it true? After all, the church is made up of different types of people, and it would be very difficult to tar everyone with the same brush, so to speak. But hopefully, the vast majority of us fit that description. So, because I like to check out the meaning of words rather than just presuming that I know what they mean, I thought I ought to see where the word comes from and why. So, evangelical then, one of the things that popped up was of or according to the teaching of the gospel of the Christian religion. Okay, the word evangelical comes from the Greek, this is difficult because I can't speak Greek, evangelion. Thank you. You speak Greek as well as Romanian. Evangelion. And the Latin, evangelium. I think I got away with the Latin bit. Evangelium, because that's similar to Italian. And they are words for good news, which evolved into the word gospel, which we are very familiar with the word gospel, aren't we? So hopefully we are a church that preaches the gospel, i.e. we preach the good news. Our evangelical faith focuses on that good news of salvation brought to sinners by Jesus Christ and subsequently by his disciples and followers. And that should be us too, shouldn't it really? Another explanation and description I came upon was this. An evangelical church is any of the classical Protestant churches or their offshoots, but especially since the late 20th century. Churches that stress the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They make it really important and they stress it. Personal conversion experiences, they stress them. They're important. And scripture. And they are the sole basis for faith together with active evangelism. As in, we get out there, out of this hall, out of this church, and spread and stress the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is also on our website as part of our mission statement. Partly because I put it there. But is it true? Is it true? In the 16th century, Martin Luther and his followers, who stressed justification by faith in Jesus Christ and based their faith on Scripture alone, were known as evangelicals. So you could say that if the cap fits, wear it. You also are an evangelical Christian. In that salvation is by grace and faith alone by Jesus. In that there is nothing more a person can do that can get him saved from condemnation and hell than to believe in Jesus, what he said and what he did. It's difficult to really believe the good news and not want to tell people about it. And so evangelical is also a word to describe anyone who is super enthusiastic about something, anything. So you might meet an evangelical Christian, or you might meet an evangelical cheerleader, or even an evangelical Christian cheerleader. Do you see the problem here? And this is where the word can be used in different contexts and sometimes leave people guessing what you're on about. See, the world has a habit of using words for their own benefit and agenda. Stealing the word gay is a perfect example of that. When I was young, gay men, you referred to dresses and clothes and colours and springtime and all that kind of thing. But now it's meant as something completely different. So, outside of the church, the adjective evangelical can describe someone who is extremely enthusiastic or zealous about a particular cause. An evangelical supporter of something will speak passionately and try very hard to get you to convert to their cause, whatever it is. An evangelical supporter of something will speak passionately and try very hard to convert you. In fact, outside the church, you might find people who are more evangelical than you are, or I am, simply because, for whatever the reason, they are more persuasive and zealous and possibly more effective than the average churchgoer is at promoting the gospel. Sad that, isn't it? Nevertheless, this church is known as an evangelical church, whether the people within it are effective witnesses for Christ or not. Whether we are enthusiastic, persuasive, persistent, or otherwise. Now, Jesus left us with a clear directive, didn't he? In Matthew 28:19, this was Jesus' directive to those who followed him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if we weren't an evangelical church, people within our church, people within this fellowship, might think that it was someone else's job to do what I've just talked about. That it was somebody with a dog collar on. It might be their job. Or somebody who is known as an international evangelist. It might be their job. But that's not what Jesus said. He spoke to his disciples, those who have been disciplined by Jesus. Now, if you don't feel that you, as a person, have any good news to share with non-believers, that you can't tell them anything that's good news, then who do you think Jesus was talking to? And maybe more to the point, why haven't you got any good news to share? What is it that you haven't got to share? Okay, so sermon title, What's in a Name? We are, generally speaking, happy to be known as an evangelical church. I don't think there are many people here who have a problem with that. Do they? Hands up if you don't want to be called or known as an evangelical church. Is that a problem? No, we're all happy with that. But I wonder if I used another name to describe us, would you still feel comfortable? Some churches, particularly Pentecostal churches, are described as charismatic. I could have put Connie Baptist Church, evangelical charismatic. Now, what am I talking about? Charismatic as a meaning means this: exercising a compelling charm which inspires devotion in others. For example, he was a charismatic figure with great appeal to the public, that kind of thing. But the second meaning is relating to the charismatic movement in the Christian church. The charismatic movement. Now, the Greek word charisma, or charisma, I don't know, charisma, means favor or gift. It comes from the verb charizestai, which is to favor, which in turn comes from the noun charis, which means grace. Okay? So in English, charisma was originally used in Christian context to refer to a gift or power bestowed upon an individual by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. You got a problem with that? So charisma, as in charismatic, was originally used in Christian context to refer to a gift or power bestowed upon an individual by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. Got it? So nowadays, like many words, it can be used out of context and is used out of context. And people can easily take the word the wrong way round due to how many people use it to infer something else. So it's really easy to get confused. These days, we use the word to refer to social rather than divine grace. For instance, a leader with charisma may easily gain popular support, and a job applicant with charisma may shine in an interview. Nevertheless, let's look at whether we as a church are charismatic or not, and whether I should change our description to charismatic church or leave it just as evangelical. What are the signs of a charismatic person? Right, a charismatic person is quietly self-assured. Does this describe you? Are you quietly self-assured? Are you fully present, as in you have good presence? And are you real? Do you know what I mean by that? Authentic, sincere? Are you real? Are you open? Are you approachable? Charismatic people are likely to be more interested in others than themselves. Does that sound like you or me? They tend to be highly empathetic. And all these qualities mean they are likely to be more successful than others due to their ability to influence people. Isn't that interesting? I guess we could call ourselves charismatic if we resembled some of the following synonyms. I'll look them up. Here are the synonyms to someone who might be charismatic. All right? Attractiveness. Appeal. So, are you attractive to other people? Do you have appeal? Do you have something that they desire? Are you delightful? Are you agreeable? Are you nice? Am I nice? Be nice, Robert. Are you pleasant? Do you feel like you're a charismatic person? Do you sometimes have trouble with those attributes? I do. Do you sometimes feel you're better associated with some of the antonyms, the opposites to those characteristics? The antonyms are this: repulsion, disagreeableness, repulsiveness, unpleasantness, offensiveness, obnoxiousness, distastefulness. Or are you between the two? What kind of a person? These traits are often to do with our nature and our characters. We can sometimes be a bit of a pick and mix and mix and match kind of person, depending on what mood we're in, which side of the bed you got out of, and which sleep you had last night, what the weather's like, you know? All of a sudden, your character can change from being dour to being happy. But actually, the word or name charismatic with regard to the church is less to do with our character traits and more to do with our faith, our theology, and what we believe. And this is why. Remember, the Greek word charisma means favor or gift. It comes from the verb charizesthai, which is to favor, which I mentioned before, which I can't say either, which in turn comes from the noun charis, which means grace. Remember that? God's grace and God's favor. Are we subject to God's grace and favor? Does that sound acceptable? Gifts that come from God, given by grace and favor. Not through works, not through study, not through performance, not because we are better than the next Christian or the next denomination, but because he gives gifts for a reason. And they are not to be regarded as toys to be played with, but as was mentioned before, in English, charisma was originally used in Christian context to refer to a gift or power bestowed upon an individual by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. Are we still on board with this? The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about these gifts of grace and how they were to be used and not to be used. In a nutshell, the gifts must be used for the edification of the church and used in love. It could be the case that it's better not to use the gifts if they can't be used in love, if they cause offense, if they're repulsive, yeah? But before we look at them, let's just consider why. Why would God give us gifts when we've got Jesus? Why would he give us gifts? That's what they're called, spiritual gifts. Why would he do that? My thoughts on this are as follows. God wouldn't hand out gifts like sweets. He knew that in this world we would have trouble. We say this nearly every Sunday. We're all having it. We're all having trouble all the time. Yeah? And so, without something, we would be powerless to overcome the enemy. Think about it. You're just a target. If you didn't have any gifts, if you didn't have any power, energy, unless you're equipped with the right tools. So for gifts, you could possibly say tools. Tools for the job that he's given us to carry out. If you've got a job, it's up to the supervisor to provide you with the right tools, isn't it? Now remember from Ephesians 6 verse 12, Paul says, our struggle as Christians is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. The powers. So what do you do with, how do you combat powers? With power. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, anyone who has been a born-again Christian for any length of time will know for sure that they have an enemy and that they are in this battle. You all know that. It is a battle nearly every day. True, they know who wins in the end, but when you're in the battle, you need to be armed with something. You need to be equipped. As well as your faith and the word of God, you can also have supernatural tools or gifts. Back to Ephesians 6, 17 to 18, we're told by Paul to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And we know that all kinds of prayers and requests, we know what that means, don't we? But what exactly does praying in the Spirit mean on all occasions? Have you ever thought what that means? How do you pray in the Spirit on all occasions? Well, I believe it means with the help of the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit alongside, with his guidance, with his power. with his confidence and understanding. But sometimes we might be so low or feeling that weak that we feel unable to do much at all. You know, when your prayer becomes a groan or a moan or whatever, we might not be able to articulate our prayers, but we know we need to pray. Or even say them with conviction or confidence. You know, sometimes you can't do that when you're down, really down. And at this point, we should ask. At this point, we should ask our Heavenly Father for help. Help me. Because he knows our situation. He knows what we need to overcome. I need help. Can you imagine how many times I've prayed that on a Sunday morning? I need help. The problem is usually that we don't actually get around to asking. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? You think about asking, you know you need help, but you don't actually ask. And therefore you suffer needlessly, expecting and waiting for God to divinely change the situation or your mood or your attitude, and he's waiting for you to ask. Open your mouth and speak. But what should we ask for? Luke 11:9-13. Jesus speaking. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If then you, although you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. You mean you've got to ask for the Holy Spirit? Is that what it says? Does it say how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The most powerful thing we need while we're on this earth is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without him we can do nothing. And with him, nothing will be too difficult for us. And like Jesus, we will overcome the world. But along with being filled with the Holy Spirit, there are gifts or tools that come with him. And some of these evidences his presence in a believer's life. Some of these are evident in people's lives. From 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, as in the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit displays himself, is given for the common good. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That sounds like charismatic, doesn't it? And some, if not all, of these gifts or tools are listed here. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12:1-11, I've cut out the packing around this just to kind of list the gifts. And this is what it says. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues and languages. and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. 9 of them. There might be more, but they're only listing 9. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. But do you wait for it or do you ask? The list is message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. 9 spiritual gifts. Now, there are evidences in this church that some people have some of these gifts. We have heard messages in tongues in this church, and we have had interpretation of those messages. Some people pray in tongues. Some people pray for healing. Some people receive healing. Some people have the faith required to preach, to teach, and therefore in a way to prophesy. Miraculous powers is something I'm not quite sure I've witnessed. However, there's still time. In the last days, it says in Joel 2, doesn't it? I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters, male and female, will prophesy. How can you prophesy with your mouth shut? Miraculous powers is something I can't say I've witnessed. Messages of wisdom and knowledge could easily be given without someone actually realizing it. When you think about it, a word of knowledge can come supernaturally, and I believe I've received one many years ago and it still stands firm today. Just an information burst which explained the whole of the cross and Jesus dying on the cross and the whole universal effect of that, bang, just like a download, instantly. It was supernatural. I can't explain it to anybody, but it happened. And I can still feel it now, the effect of it. So back to the title. What's in a name? Are we evangelical or charismatic? Or could it be that we are both? Think about it just for a second. Are we both? Does the good news, the gospel, include everything written in Scripture? Or has some of it expired now? Has some of it gone out of date? Has some of it no longer applicable? Do you have to pick and choose now? Think about it. Some churches believe the spiritual gifts, those 9 gifts, ended with the end of the apostolic age. This is to say that when the last of the missionary apostles died, the gifts went with them. That is called cessationism. Gone. Which to me implies that Scripture is not enough anymore, or it needs to be changed. You can't have it both ways. It implies that the apostles didn't preach the gospel and that their converts weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what it implies to me, if you believe that. It implies to me that they didn't receive the gifts or tools to pass on, to use, to further the kingdom, to continue the work, the great commission given to us by Jesus, nor to teach others about baptism and the Holy Spirit. That's what it implies to me. Now, if the 3 deacons of this church, and I'm not saying there are others, but if the 3 deacons in this church speak in tongues, what does it say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? To me, it says they exist. If messages in tongues have been interpreted during a service, what does that say about the gifts? It means they exist. So, should we believe for more from God or less? Should we say, nah, it's, you know, what's the point in that? What's the use of speaking in tongues? What's the point in asking for an interpretation? Should we do that? Because that's the alternative. We either go towards it or we back off. Should we trust that he will give us what we ask for in Jesus' name? That he will give us bread and not a fish or a stone or whatever? Or has it all run out now? Is the bucket empty? Have we finally been perfected in love? The option is that. If we are perfect in love, we don't need anything else. But we're not, are we? There's nobody here that I know of who's perfected in love. Do we want to grow in the Holy Spirit? Or do you want to be content where you are? Stay where you put, nice and safe. Don't venture very far. Are you happy to be content with the day-to-day running of the church and Sunday morning meetings and Wednesday evening get-togethers? Is that enough? Is that it? Is that what evangelical is? Is it what charismatic is? What should we be asking God for? What should you be asking God for? What should I be asking God for? What should we call ourselves? Does it matter what we call ourselves? What's in a name? Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Nothing has changed. It's Jesus, Jesus at the center all the time. Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Nothing changes. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. I've just been talking about one of the strange teachings is that, we don't do that anymore. That's a strange teaching. And once you start following that, there is no power in the church. And don't forget, there's a prophecy that says in the end times will be of a form of religion and godliness, but lacking the power therein. And where's the power? The power is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts. So don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And what comes with grace? So how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We'll have to find out. That's the bottom line with a question like that. It's a case of, I don't know. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You're not going to find out unless you ask, are you? The same Father, same gifts. We just need to ask and to believe. But if you're on the back foot, if you're tending towards, now we're not charismatic, we're just maybe evangelical, you're not going to go there because you'll be afraid. You won't want to handle the gifts. And it could be if you don't want to handle the gifts that he won't give them to you, because he's the one who discerns. Do you remember? You ask, he discerns. What are you going to do with this? This is a tool. It's sharp. If I give it to you, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it? Same Father, same gifts. We just need to ask and believe. Maybe we can all be charismatic. And this is a word as well. Do you know what it is? It's called continuationism. Yeah, continuationism. The first one was cessationism, wasn't it? The ceasing of the gifts. There's an alternative to that, and it's called continuationism. In other words, we continue. Carry on. Keep on carrying on. Keep on doing it. And keep asking. And keep moving. And this, I reckon, is what we should be doing. Keep on till the end. Don't enter into a church that has no power, because you'll be ineffective. And I tell you what, in the very near future, you'll be alienated completely, powerless, impotent. The Holy Spirit will have his way, but he won't force it down your throat. We've got to ask. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for spiritual gifts, Lord. Give us the courage to ask, to move in these gifts, Lord, to use them wisely, to mature as Christians, and to never give up. We know the days, Lord, to go are few. We know the end times are nigh. And, Lord, we need to be fully equipped to complete this task that you've given us. So, Lord, whatever you call us, we are your sons and daughters. And we are inheritors of the kingdom of God, Lord, heirs to the kingdom. And, Lord, we need to be encouraging one another and using these gifts, Lord, for your glory. and for only your glory, to edify the church, edify ourselves, build ourselves up, Lord, and not just to keep on going, but to forge ahead in Jesus' name. Amen.